Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to the Healthy Explosion Show, your best source for holistic health and wellness, with host, board-certified nutrition and wellness practitioner, Martina DeGoot, and co-host, Kimberly Briggs. Together with expert guests, they bring you the very best in holistic health and wellness. Your comments and feedback are important to us. To speak to the host, call 914-338-0741. That's 914-338-0741. Now here is Martina DeGoot.
Good morning. Hello, Atlanta. Hello, world.
Good morning,
Kimberly. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I am just fabulous. Thank you. This has been such an awesome weekend. First, I just want to just share real quick this morning. We have an awesome show, but I just want to say that I'm excited, especially excited about the show. It's a little different. We actually have our own co-host as Chef Kimberly today. Yes, Kimberly. Awesome. I am going to be, I guess, leaving probably in about 20-25 minutes to actually attend the 2013 Global Health and Humanitarian Summit that's actually being held here in Atlanta at the School of Medicine, Emory University. It is an awesome experience. If you're in the Atlanta area, I would definitely recommend going out to see it, just to be a part of it. All 3 days are packed with rousing speeches, exciting performances, thought-provoking roundtables. Everything is free. Last night was the actual opening ceremony, Dr. Neil Schulman, which I'm sure everybody should be familiar with. He has written 17 books, including the book that inspired the Smash It Hollywood. And I think this vision was his vision, the Humanitarian Summit. They're in their fourth year. We also had... I was very honored to hear Mrs. Naomi King. She is actually the sister-in-law of the late Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King. And we had Marlon Campbell. There was just so many people. And Marlon Campbell is actually, he is Tyler Perry's cousin, also very accomplished in his own right. If you are interested in humanitarian efforts, and just being able to network with people from all over the world regarding health, well-being, youth empowerment, this is the summit. And it started yesterday evening. It'll run from all day today and also tomorrow. So do come out and join us. Kimberly, how are you this morning? Are you excited about the show?
I'm doing great. Thank you. I'm very excited and looking forward to sharing some great ideas.
That's just awesome. Just awesome. So am I. First, I want to let you know that, you know, the topics that we discuss in the show, it's not intended to treat. It's just for information purposes. So please always check with your healthcare provider before making any changes. But I'm sure you're going to enjoy the recipes today. Chef Kim just really sharing with us a lot of great information. So I am excited. And without further ado, Kimberly, what do you have for us today?
Well, I have a couple recipes, but I was thinking before we kind of dive into those, we would talk maybe about some of the basics of just cooking healthy and moving towards maybe a healthier kitchen, kind of getting the focus on some better ingredients. And as you know, we are what we eat, and it's just
true.
I think cooking your own foods it's the best way to really control what's going in your body. You can go out to eat at a restaurant and order a relatively healthy dish, but at the end of the day, you never truly know where those ingredients were coming from, what they were exposed to, and how they were prepared exactly. Sometimes the servers don't even know exactly how the foods were prepared. So if you're somebody with a food allergy or just somebody who's really trying to focus on a shift towards healthier eating, cooking your own food, I think, is the best way to go.
Yes, it is.
For sure. Yeah. So,
for sure.
With that said, you can also save a lot of money healthy eating, cooking your own food. I think there's a misconception out there that to cook healthier foods, you're going to have to spend a lot more money. And sometimes, to be honest, that is true. But other times, there's ways to kind of to get around having to spend a lot extra. I think some ideas are just eat what's in season. Kind of you can find lists on the web that will show you what's in season. And you can just go to a local farmer's market and probably get something cheaper. That way, for example, if we're coming into the summer months, berries and fruits are going to be all over, and they'll probably be cheaper as a result. And then if we move to the fall and winter months, of course, winter squashes and potatoes and things like that. So that's a great way to cut costs. Martina, do you find yourself saving money when you go to farmers markets or...
Oh, yes, most definitely. And I do a lot of sprouting myself indoors, which we're going to have a show on that as well. But that's a great way. And, you know, I think, as you were saying, and I do agree, a misconception is that eating healthy is very expensive. And in some respect, if you really don't know how to plan your meal and what to combine together, then it could be expensive because, you know,
sure.
They have prepared organic foods, that's it's pretty expensive. But if you learn the secret of how to shop the right way, what foods to combine to make a delicious meal, then you'll find that, you know, you're spending about the same or even less. Now, there are people, I think, that meat is going to be expensive. You know, I think that's the biggest cost.
I agree.
Fine. You know, things like prepared cereal, and those are things that you can eliminate and have a much healthier breakfast that's less expensive. And, you know, those box cereals, they're very pricey to begin with. So there are different breakfast ideas that you can actually, implement in order to eat healthier. But I think we'll have a show on that, too, how to because I've actually put together a list of grocery items, how you can actually, for $35, you could actually eat for $35 per week and actually be satisfied. It won't include, maybe just a little cutting back, getting maybe, the free range or organic chicken. And, you know, rather than eating the standard, most people, I think, eat 8 to 10 ounces of chicken, of meat. So if you cut back your portions, drink water maybe a half an hour to 20 minutes before your meal, then it's going to automatically cause you to eat less. That's one way. And then have like 60%, 60, 70% of your plate be more whole grains. And I think when we mention whole grains, Kimberly, people think of grains like in breads and, you know, whole wheat. And that's not what it is. Whole grains
no.
is things that have not been disturbed, you know, or processed in any way. So if we eat more natural foods and not a lot of grains, because grains can actually be, like, people eat a lot of rice and bread and things of this sort, and it actually creates toxins in your system. So if we actually eat more, you know, the green leafy vegetables and the root vegetables, you know, squash. I think, are you preparing a recipe today with squash?
Yeah, spaghetti squash. It's one of my favorites.
Yes,
I've got to tell
is.
You guys. Yeah, it's a great substitute.
God. Yes, it is. That's awesome. Well, I'm going to just let you dive in, unless there's something else you want to say, in terms of different ideas before we start with the the sharing of the ingredients and the recipe, because that's awesome. And that is wonderful.
Sure. Yeah, I love it too. I just wanted to quickly add also, there's websites online. I think one of the websites is called eatwild.com. You could probably just Google Eat Wild and find it. It's a great resource for finding actual local farms in your area, which will deliver eggs, dairy products, and maybe even free-range and grass-fed meat to your door for cheaper than you're going to get usually at maybe your local holistic health, you know, food source. So, and it's also supporting, you know, your local farmer, which is amazing and kind of is in line with what we were talking about on the last show.
True.
Just how important farming is. Yeah, so so that's a great idea as well. So getting into the ingredients, yeah, I'm not sure if, how much we've touched upon it in the past. We'll know a little bit, but I'm gluten-free, and I'm actually primarily grain-free as well, which gluten, just to explain, is a protein found in wheat products. It's not offensive for everyone, but the general consensus, I think, in the nutritional community these days is just that even if it isn't harmful for everyone, it could be potentially harmful, and certainly there are better ways of getting nutrients, for example, fiber. A lot of people associate breads and things like and cereals with fiber, but you can actually get fiber in better quantities from different foods, so it's important to talk about that as well, which we will. And so having gone gluten-free, you know, people kind of focus on, like, what you can't eat, and the list is certainly long, you know, breads, conventional processed foods. I would have cereals for breakfast. I don't eat them anymore. And so it's definitely a lifestyle shift, but really it, after you've kind of gotten through the initial stages of, like, okay, what I can and can't have, cooking your own foods becomes a real pleasure, because I'm able to make things now gluten-free and healthier, in my own kitchen that taste better, in my opinion, than some of the gluten and processed foods that maybe used to be in my diet before. And so spaghetti squash, like we kind of talked about, is one of the first ingredients I want to talk about as a great replacement for pasta. And sounds weird because it's a squash, and when you look at this yellow oval-shaped vegetable, you're not going to think spaghetti is going to come out of that, like never in a million years. Like I remember when I brought it home for the first time, I showed my boyfriend Yuri, and I said, this is going to be spaghetti, and he was looking at me like I was crazy, but that's okay. So it's a winter squash, like I said. It's going to be in season in the fall and winter months, and to prepare the squash, You want to pick organic if you can, but if not, if you want to save some money, you can get it at your local grocery store, non-organic as well. It's not a huge deal because you're not eating the skin of the squash, which is something that would be more of a concern if you were to buy organic or not. So to prepare the squash, you're going to stab it all over with a fork or a knife just to kind of let air and heat get within the center of the squash. It's a pretty dense vegetable. Once you've stabbed it, you're going to bake it just in your oven on a baking sheet for about 30 minutes at like 400 degrees. It's going to vary depending on the size of your squash, of course. So the bigger the squash, maybe the higher the temp and the little bit longer you have to leave it in. The way to tell if it's done after that amount of time is you just take it out and handle it carefully because it will get hot. So just be careful with it.
Yes, it does.
Yeah, they retain their heat, so just handle with caution. But you're going to cut it in half, and if you can kind of begin to flake away the squash from the sides of the outer shell, like the skin, which will basically become hard like a shell, then it's done. And if not, you can just toss it back in the oven for between 5 to 10 more minutes. Just cut it in half as is. And then you're good. So just remove the seeds, and with a fork, you can slowly start to flake away these spaghetti-like strands from the sides of the squash, and it's incredible. It really does look like a pasta. Depending on how well you like it, you can have it a little al dente with a little crunch, or you can really cook it thoroughly. You could throw it in a stir fry. Yuri and I typically just put pasta sauce on it, and we make our own meatballs with it. I've never tried, but I'm sure you could put it in a soup as like a vegetable soup, because it really does stand up to heat. You can, you know, I've stir-fried with it, like I said, so is good for that. And it's a great nutty taste, you know. It's a way to move your family away from pastas and all these spaghetti dishes that are so associated with like comfort food, I think, into a healthier alternative that's going to have, you know, a third of the carbs, if not less, nothing processed, and it's from the earth. So you can't get better than that.
That's true. And, you know, I'm telling you, actually, the first time, it was my sister that, you know, showed me how to prepare it. The only thing, one of the steps that she does, she cuts it in half before she bakes it. And she turns it upside down on, upside down. And it makes it a little easier because, as you know, it's so hot once you remove it from the oven. So that's an easier way. And then she does everything the same way, which is really great. But you can also, what I've done with it is I have put a little sesame oil or grapeseed oil, because sesame oil gives a real nice flavor. And I've added leek, scallion, bell peppers. I can't digest the green, so I usually use the colorful ones like the yellow or orange. And I've added in like the snow peas, you know, a lot of different vegetables, fresh garlic, some thyme, and just let it stir fry, not long. And then I just pour it over it is pasta, it's vegetable pasta. So I pour it over. Yeah, and it makes a great, great, great. And another thing I've done is the goat cheese, and pour the goat cheese like over it, and a little bit of cilantro. Beautiful. So if you're preparing something, let's say for a few friends, or just having an event, you know, a gathering, a party at your home, or it's summer now, so. Well, not quite, but we're approaching summer. But it makes a great dish, and you could really impress your guests just by, you know, dressing it up. And you could be, you know, creative. That's the fun thing with it. You know, it goes with so many different things, and you could really make a beautiful, beautiful presentation piece with it.
You really can. Yeah. See, I think exactly what you said just proves how versatile it is. You know, it really is a substitute for just a plain pasta. It can take on any taste or any food ethnicity that you would like it to. So it's great. Another idea for going gluten-free or grain-free I've found is, if you tolerate it, cauliflower, you can actually rice cauliflower and it becomes, or you can mash it, and it becomes like mashed potatoes. I can get into that in a second. But ricing cauliflower, if you have a food processor, that's the easiest way. You just break it up into chunks, and you can put on a slow, like a low grade, not too fine, not too coarse grate, and just grate the cauliflower, and you just throw it in a pan and cook it. Literally becomes, I've made a vegetable stir-fried rice with it before. You can throw an egg in there and make it like a traditional pork fried rice taste. It's amazing what you can do with cauliflower. You can actually grate the cauliflower, bring it to a boil, and remove the excess water, maybe mix in half a cup of cheese and maybe 2 tablespoons of some kind of flour substitute, for example, like a almond flour or coconut flour, and you can make a pizza crust with it. You just flatten it out on a piece of wax paper. You can bake it for, I think, 350 for about 20 minutes. Keep an eye on it and make sure it's not burning. And literally then put your toppings on, of course, and bake it again. But it becomes like a pizza crust, and it's not even bread or anything bad. It's just cauliflower. It's incredible what you can do with these vegetables, and you can really substitute for some of your favorite comfort foods. And I think that's kind of the key also in making the shift towards healthier eating, something that it's not so painful for you, and if you're doing it with your family, and especially if you have kids. You know, find healthier ways to make the foods that they once loved And it's not going to seem like such a dramatic, drastic change now, all of a sudden eating healthier. It's going to seem kind of like a game. Like, how can we make, I know for Yuri and I, it's kind of a game sometimes. How can we make this recipe but healthy, you know? Or we've been craving that maybe. Yeah, exactly. I've been craving this or that. And, oh, around the holidays, I would love to have this, but I don't want to eat this anymore. How can I make it healthier? And, you know, there's just so many ideas out there. So, like, we talked about spaghetti squash and cauliflower. You can mash cauliflower and add a bit of cream if you tolerate milk, or even a little bit of almond milk, I've done before. And you can make mashed potatoes, and it's almost impossible to tell if you do it right that it's cauliflower instead of just white mashed potatoes. It's awesome. I've actually made a shepherd's pie substitute. Instead of mashed potatoes on the top, you can use mashed cauliflower, and it comes out just as good.
Yes, it does. Kim, I'm going to jump right in. You're absolutely right. It's delicious. It's creamy. And again, then you can dress it up so many different ways.
Exactly.
And, you know, when you said before that I have friends, you know, even some family members that will say, Martina, how could you eat that way? You know, or, you know, I have to have this and I have to have that. And I said, well, I'm not missing out on anything. I've just found creative ways to prepare healthy food. So I'm not really missing out on anything. And so when you're out in an environment where people are eating the traditional foods and they look at you, I always bring my meal with me. And they look at you and they're like, it's not that you're trying to be different, but I just want to be healthy. So just because I'm not eating what you're eating does not mean I'm not eating well. And I think that's
exactly
a misconception. And tasty, Kimberly, because, you know when you use organic ingredients and really good ingredients, the flavor, because we're using more herbs and spices. Oh, my God, it's more flavorful. And I think one of the problems that people have with even, taking excess sodium is that the food, they're always putting salt to try to make it more flavorful because we were actually created, you know, there's a taste bud in our mouth that we like to taste. We like the flavor. And so I think that's how people end up, getting ingredients such as, now we do need sodium, but not in the quantity and the amounts that you get from prepared foods, which is something to watch out for because even when you go to the stores, and I know you've seen this yourself, and you look at prepared foods that are organic, but the sodium content, my God, it's like 800 to 1,000 just for
crazy.
One item. Yeah,
exactly. And that's going to make you feel bloated and dehydrated. And then you're going to say, oh, I don't even know why I ate the healthier meal because I'm not feeling, I'm not feeling good.
Exactly. But, yeah, that the cauliflower mash is absolutely good. What else I've done with that is to make them into little balls. So it's a nice
Really?
Yeah, and add like a little sauce on top of it because you can get really creative once you've actually like mashed it. At that type of point, I don't really puree it that much, more like chop to get it so that it can form together. And again, I like the leek, the scallion, the peppers, and even some spinach. I saute that a little and mix it all together and. You can use like a little, I use organic rice flour, just a little to kind of hold it together. Or you can use potato flour, and just kind of hold it together, just a little to hold it in. Because I don't do anything with dairy either. I have that dairy allergy as well. But just form it together and then you can bake it. Oh, my God, it's delicious.
Wow, I've never tried that. I'm going to try that.
Yeah, the cauliflower balls, they call them. Yeah, the cauliflower balls. We're going to put the recipes, maybe you won't see it today, but we'll put the recipes on healthyexplosionshow.com. So do check there for the recipes, or you can follow us on, Twitter, and especially our Facebook page. We'll probably post it there as well, Kimberly. That'll be a great place.
That's a great idea. Yeah, and we can add pictures as well.
Right, which would really, really be good. So yeah, there's all kinds of things, and we've just given a few examples of how you can really start to think about making healthier, more creative dishes. And I think it's just that people are stuck, because you do get stuck. When I made my change, I was stuck initially, because I'm like, okay, I can't eat any of what I used to eat before. Now I need to learn how to take the healthy ingredients and make them flavorful.
Exactly. You have to get a little innovative, and you can get stuck, even if you have a few options. I mean, let's be honest, you can't eat spaghetti squash every single day of the week. So it's good to know. And then there's also going to be, we had talked about some flours. That's kind of the next segue I want to jump into, and it relates to a recipe I'm going to give in a couple minutes here. But gluten-free flours, there are so many options out there. And if you're a mom with kids, and you're trying not to deprive your kid of maybe the sweets that they used to have and love. And I think everybody deserves a treat from time to time. But there are so many healthier ways to make these things. And we talked about an almond flour. Martina, you mentioned potato flour. If you're grain-free like me, I reach for almond, hazelnut, or coconut flours. But if you're not grain-free, you can reach for rice-based flours, tapioca-based flours, oat flours, or garbanzo bean flours. And it's a great way to make, you can make your muffins, you can make a birthday cake, you could make your pancakes even with these kinds of flours, and it's a healthier way of maybe having a treat from time to time. Like, a treat wouldn't have to be, let's go to IHOP. A treat could be, let's grab some coconut flour, a little organic milk, or a few eggs, and there you go, you have some pancakes, and that's a great option. So I'm going to touch upon that in a little bit here, because I particularly love hazelnut flour, and I have a great recipe that I use, especially, I started out around the holidays, but now Yuri makes me make it all year round, because he loves them so much, and they freeze really well. They're just a hazelnut-based cookie, completely organic, dairy-free, grain-free, obviously gluten-free, and so that's a great way. And I kind of want to also touch upon salt. Martina, you mentioned something that's so important with the sodium. And I want to kind of identify what's problematic here. Salt, table salt, the way we traditionally think of it, is sodium chloride. That's a substance that in high quantities is very harmful to the body. I mean, it can cause high blood pressure, it's been linked to hypertension, it's been linked obviously to water retention and fluid retention and many, many other things that are problematic for the body. The body is not used to having high levels of sodium chloride. A traditional way, that said, salt is important and necessary in the body. It's actually, you need salt for neurologic processes. You need salt to maintain a healthy pH balance and many other things, but the kind of salt matters. So we use sea salt. You could even use a Celtic sea salt, a pink sea salt. Himalayan rock salts are good. And so that's a way where you can still get your salt and you can still bake with these salts and season your foods with them without having to overload on sodium chloride. And you just need a little bit. I know, Martina, you probably tried sea salt. You just need a little bit, goes a long way.
Yeah, that's true.
Exactly. About one grind of the sea salt, shaker is equivalent to like a tablespoon of the sodium chloride, or maybe not even, because I find your taste buds, like you mentioned, become desensitized. So then you need more and more table salt than you ever did before to get that taste. And before you know it, you're consuming so much of it that it's just not good. So make the shift to a sea salt, that maybe a Celtic sea salt, like I said, Himalayan rock salt, a salt that's pure, it comes from a sustainable, environmentally sustainable and or organic source, and that's the way to go. Because you do need some salt, and you do get some from your foods, but if you're like me, and I kind of crave a little bit of salt from time to time as a seasoning, that's a great alternative.
Yes, it is. And, spinach naturally has sodium. So there are many different vegetables that you will eat that already have sodium. I just have to make sure that we're not going over the recommended daily allowance. And actually, we shouldn't really have over 20, I think it's 2,300 grams of sodium per day. So imagine if you're having one item that has 1,500.
Yeah.
You know, so with me, really, really do I add any, you know, any sodium. The just a little, I mean, just a dash, you could hardly see it.
Exactly.
You could hardly see it on the,
Yeah, and everyone's salt, you know, needs vary greatly. I mean, I've read studies that link different blood types to different salt needs. In addition, Yuri, my boyfriend, for example, is a hockey player. He's sweating, you know, pretty profusely almost every single day. And in your sweat, you lose your sodium reserves, lose your salt. You're drinking a lot of water, so that's also depleting your body's sodium reserves. So, and it can throw off your electrolyte balance. So it's very important to, if you're somebody like that, if you're a runner, if you're somebody who's in the hot sun, if you're somebody who likes to drink a gallon of water a day, you know, feel free to just add a little bit here and there. Like we said, don't overdo it, but it is an option for you guys. It is an option for the salt lovers out there.
That's true. And yeah, that's a nice segue. As a matter of fact, my sister will be on our next show. She's a runner.
Yeah.
3 years, and she's gone from not being athletic at all to running marathons from Paris to, oh gosh, Bermuda. She's just all over the place, and she's now running for a cause against diabetes. So we're going to be talking about that next week. But yeah, and so running and anything, Kimberly, you're absolutely right. You do need to replace that, because a person, for instance, they could be drinking a lot of water, and all of a sudden their electrolytes become imbalanced. And start feeling lightheaded and wonder what's going on. A refreshing way, a drink, to get your electrolytes really together. And a lot of people don't like the taste, but coconut water. And I think I introduced coconut water to you guys because I love coconut water.
Mm-hmm.
But it has, you know, the salt, magnesium, and a lot of potassium, because our body needs potassium daily, and we don't get enough of that. And that's a part of, you know, keeping our electrolytes balanced. So, yeah, I am excited. Now, what do you have next for us?
Okay, so we've talked about some gluten-free flour alternatives, the spaghetti squash, we've talked about salt. I want to quickly touch upon oils. If you're going to be now making your own foods in the kitchen and cooking, and maybe you're stir-frying or you're baking, whatever you're doing, it's going to involve heat, obviously. And it's important to understand with the oils we cook with, it's called the smoke point. So every oil has a different smoke point, and the smoke point is just basically a general description. It's the temperature at which an oil can be heated before it oxidizes. And when an oil oxidizes, it molecularly changes, and it can't be reversed. And when it changes, it can change in a way to take something that was once maybe healthy and beneficial to the body, and it turns it into something that's now actually harmful. And, for example, I think vegetable oils are a wonderful example of this. They have one of the lowest smoke points of all the oils. And this is unfortunately what we're frying many of our foods in. Fast foods are, you know, they primarily use vegetable oils. With such a low oxidizing point, they're now turning from healthier, maybe a somewhat healthier fat, it's arguable with vegetable oils, but now to something that's going to shoot your inflammation through the roof. Your body doesn't recognize this oil or this healthy as a healthy fat at this point. And it's important to know that now what you thought was maybe a healthier fat-free way of going, for example, it's a different substance now. We've heated it. We've changed the molecular structure of the food. And it's not something that you can even taste. It's something that you just have to understand about the chemistry of the food. So what I recommend when you're preparing your recipes, doing a stir fry or even baking, coconut oil. We've talked a little bit about coconut oil on the show in the past because it's good for so many things. You can put it on your skin and your hair, but obviously you can cook with it. And it has one of the highest smoke points of any oil that you can buy. So it's great for stir fries. If you're cooking vegetables at a high heat, throw a tablespoon of coconut oil in there, you're going to know, you can rest assured that all those healthy fats, they're not going to transform now into what we could call bad fats, for example. If you're somebody who's maybe a little sensitive to the taste of coconut and you're not sure you can deal well with a coconut oil, you can buy extra virgin coconut oil. So play around with it and see, see kind of what you tolerate and what you like. If you bake with it, you don't taste, you wouldn't detect a tablespoon of coconut oil in something you were baking, like a cake, for example. It is solid at room temperature. Don't be afraid. It's only at room temperature that it's solid. It's not going to turn solid inside your body once you would digest it. At the body's temperature, it's liquid. And if you heat it, obviously it becomes liquid. So don't fret there. Martina, do you use coconut oil when you do stir fry or things like that?
Oh, yeah, I love coconut oil. And you said I love the water, I love the oil.
Yeah.
And it's really great. If a person cannot get coconut oil, and we're going to do a show on coconut oil because it has so many different nutrients and just benefits. I've also made whipped cream from coconut cream.
Wow, really?
We'll share that.
You're going to have to send me that one.
I will. One of our earlier shows last year, we actually, it was just for the holidays, Christmas, New Year's, and we actually did a show on cooking, and yeah, that recipe is awesome. It's so easy to make, too. So I'll share that another time.
Oh, that would be awesome.
It's coconut oil is wonderful. It's good for the skin, the hair. I mean, just so many different benefits, and you can use coconut oil. But, another oil that's also has a high flash point and it's high in antioxidant is grapeseed oil. Have you used that?
Mm-hmm. I have. Yes, I have, actually. It can be, if you want to buy a good quality grapeseed, like I found, at least what I've found is a little more expensive. Not that coconut oil is extremely cheap either, but I love grapeseed. I'll even put it on my salad. It's a nutty, it's a really nice flavor. It's a great alternative.
Great, great flavor. One other thing I want to mention is that virgin or extra virgin olive oil you really should not cook with it. Olive oil is
exactly
great if you wanna, it's a great cleanse, actually. I have used olive oil, a quarter cup of olive oil as a gallbladder cleanse.
Wow.
Before you go to bed. There's so many different things that, the natural foods are just great for. But with olive oil, prepare your meals and then pour the olive oil on. Don't cook with it. If you notice, and people who have tried to eat healthier, they'll buy olive oil thinking that's fine. Olive oil is good for you. But I think the flash point is 90. So
exactly.
You pour it into a saucepan and quickly it starts to burn. And when the oil burns and you consume that, it gives off certain gases. So it can also, cause harm. You don't want to do that. So for olive oil, it's great, but that should be consumed in its natural state, meaning do not cook it because it does not have a high flash point.
Exactly.
Yeah, so that's great. I'm excited. I am going to we're going to go to a break, and Kimberly will be back. I will be in and out because actually on the way to the symposium, the health and wellness symposium, which is really, really awesome. So we'll be back in one moment.
Healthy Explosion Show brings you the latest in holistic health and wellness from around the world. Take your health to the next level. Healthy Explosion is for you. Guests range from sleep experts, hormone specialists, natural chemists, plus much, much more. Our monthly newsletter features snippets of show content available at HealthyExplosionShow.com. Download and share with family and friends. Feature products or services in our newsletter by visiting HealthyExplosionShow.com. To be a guest on our show and share your ideas, visit HealthyExplosionShow.com. Tune in Saturdays, 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. to our live broadcast. Listen online by calling 914-338-0741 or via our mobile site on your Android, BlackBerry, or iDevices. Listen to our archive shows on HealthyExplosionShow.com or blogtalkradio.com/HealthyExplosionShow. Remember, your health is your wealth. Live it well.
Welcome back to the Healthy Explosion Show. Kimberly, this is awesome.
Hi.
I'm having a good time.
This is great. I love talking about this stuff. I don't know about you, Martina, but cooking for me, it's like a meditative experience. I don't know. Maybe because I'm a bit of a foodie, but there's just something so rewarding about knowing that you're cooking a healthy meal from scratch. You did it yourself. It's for you and maybe a loved one or your family. It's a great thing. I think that's what life is all about, you know, like quality and just spending that time together, and it's all good.
That's right. You're so right. And you know, there's so many people, as I said, that will come up to me and say, Martina, I don't know how you do it, you know, because they don't see me eating the types of food that they're eating.
Mm-hmm.
But I am eating well. My body for my height, you know, it's the right weight. I'm fine, you know, and I feel good. So, and I'm eating,
exactly.
I'm eating nutritiously. So, but yeah, people who have not really gotten, I guess, the mind shift, because it really takes a lot, you know, to change
it
your
is.
Mind, to uh-huh. make these changes. But, you know, I want to be healthy. I've been sick for so many years, over the years, and I know that I don't like to be ill. And so mm-hmm. when I, you know, truly discovered and changed my mindset about food, then I made those changes. And I have been diligent. If I don't deviate, because I know that it's just like someone that's used any type of addiction, and food in many
mm-hmm.
respects can be an addiction. But if you deviate, you know, go back, it's no such thing as having one or two drinks if you're an alcoholic, because that opens up, you know, portal, you know, I say a portal because it's just an avenue for, you know, there's a second and the second, the next and the next and the next. So
mm-hmm.
but the thing is this, that, you know, it's just making a conscious decision daily to eat healthy, you know,
right?
And sugar, we're gonna have a show and have to have a show on sugar, because I've discovered sugar is actually addictive, and a lot of people that
mm-hmm.
you know can't give up sweets is because of the addictive nature of sugar. And you do
exactly.
get, because the brain craves sugar, but not the sugar that people are giving it to, you know, the pies and all these things. You know, the body breaks down sugar that's found in the various fruits and vegetables, you know,
mm-hmm.
and the various healthy foods that we eat. So that's what it's looking for. And so if you're giving it like an artificial sugar, so to speak,
mm-hmm.
you know, it doesn't really recognize, so it keeps craving because it's looking for the right type. And I think that's where the addiction stems. And the reason
uh-huh.
I'm saying this is that I've gotten sugar out of my diet from, oh God, 10 years. And over the Christmas holidays, I wanted to prepare healthy, these are healthy little cupcakes. And it was actually, what did we use? I think they were pumpkin cupcakes. So everything was all natural, all organic, rather. And we used just a little agave. And I noticed, because, you know, the family members, oh, these are just, they're not sweet. But they tasted sweet to me because, you know, the sugar has gone out of my diet. And so I noticed I had one, and they were tiny. They were about the size of a quarter, very tiny. And I had one, was tasty too. So I had another. And I noticed they were, as long as they were there, it was like, because still, you know, it's, and that was natural, you know, natural sweetener, but it can, you can become addictive to sweet. And so what I had to do is, okay, well, that's it.
Uh-huh.
But
exactly.
It was all healthy ingredients. So we do, you can enjoy delicious things, delicious foods, but especially on the sweet side, just do it in moderation. Instead of a huge cupcake, have a very tiny one.
Right, exactly. It's not about deprivation. I think that's a misconception when people start shifting to eat healthy, and that's kind of the theme of what we've both been saying, is that there's a way to do things where you don't feel deprived. And actually, once you've been doing them long enough and you try the old thing that maybe you used to be eating, you have a little cheat meal or, you know, a treat, and you don't feel good anymore after having those foods. You notice that your body is rebelling in a way against the foods that you maybe once would eat every day, but now since you've been healthy and you have them, you don't feel good when you have them anymore. And that's just, that's the proof is in the pudding, as they say.
Yes.
It's not something that's good for you. I want to kind of just go into a little bit about the sweeteners further, because like you said, they can be really addictive. But for somebody who's trying to make a shift towards a healthier life and they just need a little help, maybe they do have a sweet tooth and it's something that risks kind of throwing them off the train, if you will, off the healthy train.
Right.
They have their coffee. They need a little something sweet in it. What can that person do? So there's a couple of options that are all natural. Martina, you mentioned agave, which is great. It comes from a plant. It's a plant that grows in a tropical environment. And so agave is great, but it's also been shown that it can spike your insulin. So for somebody who's diabetic, agave maybe isn't, it's maybe not the best way to go. For somebody who's not sensitive to that or doesn't maybe have an insulin, you know, desensitivity, agave could be used. Stevia is something that's great. It also comes from a plant. It's more sweet than regular sugar. So if you get it in the powder form, you certainly cannot match 1 tablespoon stevia to 1 tablespoon of what you would regular table sugar or whatever regular granular sugar you would use. It's not going to be the same. Stevia is sweetened. It's much sweeter than regular sugar. So just be aware of that. Another sweetener that I've used is xylitol. It's a granular sugar. You can get it granular. You can get it in liquid form. You can also get liquid stevia. But xylitol is great because it has a very, very minimal effect on your blood sugar. It doesn't spike your insulin as much. It's actually been proven to help prevent cavities. So that might be a great option if to sweeten maybe a kid's treat with. And the other sweetener that I kind of use that you may see in my recipes and in one of the cookie recipes that I'm going to give in a second here is called erythritol. It's very similar to xylitol, but it's granular, so you can match the serving sizes 1-to-1 as you would in any recipe that's calling for regular sugar. If it calls for 2 tablespoons of regular sugar, you could use exactly 2 tablespoons of erythritol. So it's an easier way mathematically to kind of switch some of your recipes over. And they're all zero calorie, but like I said, some of them are going to have a different effect on your blood sugar. So just understand maybe what your specific needs are, and then also pay attention to how you feel. And certainly don't rely on these things. Like we said, your body is going to get addicted to the sweet taste. It's a biologic need. It's based back in when humans were developing that, you know, your body is trained to want salty and sweet things depending on what your body needs. You just want to make sure you're getting the quality ingredients so that you're not constantly craving these things and that your body doesn't feel deprived. And that's key. So that said, I want to jump into one of my recipes. This one uses ground lamb. Martina, do you ever, you kind of meat free, but have you ever done anything with ground lamb? Are you a lamb fan?
No, I am meat free. But can I just say a quick thing before
Oh, yeah, sure.
You mentioned that regarding the sweets? You know, sometimes our body gives us signals by the cravings as to a deficiency in our body, whether it be mineral, vitamins. You know, and so it's if you find your body, like there are people and that may crave ice, all of a sudden they start chewing well, that's a signal sometimes that you may be anemic or need to check something, you know, make sure you find out what's going on in your body. So there's certain food cravings that it's not necessarily that the body, it's not necessarily that, okay, you've got to have this, got to have it. It's to the point where it's a signal. So check to see
right.
what's going on in your body. You know, like sometimes people crave sweets that may be, you know, hypoglycemic. Because if you're hypoglycemic, it's like you need a quick source of energy, so you're going to need something sweet. So don't just rely on the fact that, oh, I like sweets. Find out what the problem is, you know, what could
mm-hmm.
be causing it by, you know, having some metabolic testing done. So, and hormonal testing, because sometimes,
exactly.
you know, deficiencies, and we've done so many different shows on hormones and, oh, my God, just a wealth of information in our archives over the last two, three months. So check, you know, go to our archives, listen, and also listen to your body, because that's
mm-hmm.
key. So don't just say, well, I can't do without sugar. What's driving that? It could be something
mm-hmm.
that you have not you know, dealt with. So make sure that you do those metabolic testing, find out what the reason is, and then you can correct it.
Right. And it could be emotional. It could be an emotional tie that you don't even understand fully. Your brain may be looking for that release of dopamine, which is, you know,
sure.
all these positive feelings that can be released
mm-hmm.
when you have something sweet. And you can become addicted mm-hmm. to that, and you may not even know emotionally if you're depressed. I mean, it's proven they're more likely to crave sweets. Your body's looking for that positive energy, and it's not getting it emotionally, so it's going to start craving it from food.
That's
so
true.
We can do an entire show on cravings, and I think we should.
Yeah, that's so true.
Yeah, so, okay, so if, I mean, we're running out of time because there's just so much to talk about here, but I'll quickly kind of just tell you guys a little meatball recipe. You could sub this. I like to use some good quality lamb that I pick up at my health food store. It's been raised properly, and I like lamb because it's easier to digest for me than some red meat. But you could certainly use red meat. You could use ground chicken, turkey. It's a really versatile recipe. I just make the meatballs by using half a cup of fresh parsley, wash it off, take the leaf portion and chop it up, half a cup, 1 tablespoon of paprika, 2 teaspoons of smoked paprika, 1 teaspoon of sea salt, 1/4 teaspoon pepper, and 2 pounds of pastured ground lamb. And so you're going to mix all of these spices together in, you know, in just a regular bowl. Mix them up with your hands. That's the easiest way, I think, to do it. Just use your hands. God gave you those tools. And form them into little meatballs. You can line them up on a baking sheet. And then for the sauce that I typically do with this, it's a red sauce, but it doesn't come from a jar. I make my own tomato sauce. So I start out with like 1 tablespoon of coconut oil in a deep sauce pot. And in the coconut oil, I kind of fry up some onions. For 2 pounds of meat, I'm going to use about 2 medium onions, just yellow onions. And you're going to cook those with 2 garlic cloves, which have been crushed, until the onions become translucent and they're kind of how you like it. Not burning, just watch it and make sure your heat's not too high. It's going to be about medium heat. And so once your onions are translucent and everything's smelling very fragrant, you get the garlic, add 2 teaspoons of paprika again, some ground cumin, about 2 teaspoons of ground cumin, 1/2 teaspoon of sea salt to the sauce, a little bit of pepper. You can do that to taste. And then you're going to add 2 medium tomatoes. You're going to dice up the tomatoes, 1.5 cups of water, 2/3 cup tomato paste. And it's basically, that's 1 small can of tomato paste. You can find a good quality tomato paste in a can. Just look for the can. Make sure the can is BPA-free. Tomatoes acidic, and it can start to eat away at the liner of cans. So just make sure it's a quality company. The can is BPA-free. And then again, to the sauce, 1/2 cup of fresh parsley. And you're going to let the sauce kind of simmer together, bring it to a boil, bring it down to about low-medium heat, throw in your meatballs and cover it. And you're going to cover that and cook it for about 40 minutes. And the meatballs, whatever meat you use, is going to certainly come out juicy.
they saw the spices and the sauce and in the meat, they complement each other, so it goes really well. And I actually serve this over spaghetti squash, which we talked about in the beginning of the show. So that's a favorite in my house. I probably make that for a number of people, but I probably make that for just Yuri and I about once a week. And we always feel really good after eating it, just fresh ingredients, you know, a little bit of your spices, and you're good to go. So another recipe that I kind of want to touch upon with you guys is a sweeter recipe. I don't make this all the time, but it's something that I make when I'm craving a little something sweet or there's a holiday. I don't really crave sweets ever anymore. I shouldn't say that. But like if there's a holiday, like I made these for Christmas, it's a hit. People love these cookies and they could not be easier to make. I just want to also say, once again, we're going to post these recipes on the Facebook page and on the website as well. So don't worry about writing down all the ingredients. I'm just going to glance over them as I did with the first recipe. So these cookies are based with hazelnut flour, which is grain-free, gluten-free, of course, flour. And it's got a lot of protein. It's got a lot of healthy fats. You just need a little cookie. It's going to be filling because it's a dense cookie, but it's delicious. So 2 cups of hazelnut flour. Then I'm going to use 1/4 cup of melted coconut oil. If your coconut oil is not melted, you could warm it up in a saucepan, 1/4 cup, and just combine it with the flour. 1/2 teaspoon baking soda. You want to make sure your baking soda is aluminum-free. 1 teaspoon of sea salt. 1/3 cup of erythritol sweetener. If you're not going to use erythritol and you're going to use maybe stevia, agave, kind of use your judgment based off how sweet you need it to be. It's probably not going to be 1/3 cup because your erythritol isn't as sweet as, say, stevia. You would use less stevia in this instance. And then I add 1 tablespoon of natural honey, 1 egg, and I actually added 1/4 cup of just chopped up dark chocolate. I use organic 86% plus dark chocolate and just mix that in as like the chocolate chips. So crumble everything together, mix it, you know, with a spoon. It's going to be sticky. Don't worry about it. And it's going to be thick, but don't worry about that either. And you line it up on the baking sheet, bake it for about 20 minutes at 350, and just make sure the edges are getting slightly browned but not burnt. So it could be 17 minutes to 20 minutes. And there you go. Let them cool, and it's a delicious cookie. Actually made them once using Mexican chocolate, which is a spicy kind of dark chocolate as the chocolate chips, and those went over really well. So just play around with it. You can make it yourself, you know, make it for the holidays for the kids so they don't feel like they're deprived or, you know, whatever. It's a grain-free, gluten-free way to do it. You could use almond flour if you wanted. You could use any other nut flour, or if you use coconut flour, the measurements for the liquid might change a bit, but yeah, like I said, well, these recipes will be posted on the Facebook page and on the website. So, and probably many more to come. We're going to post some recipes kind of as we go along now. So keep an eye out for them. But it's a great way to just kind of move towards health and without feeling deprived at that. Martina, are you still with us?
Barely.
Oh, okay.
Yes, I'm listening in, but I'm actually en route. So it's a little...
Okay.
Little difficult, but anyhow, I know we're just about at the end of the show. Next Saturday, I Run Against Diabetes will be on, my sister, and Kimberly, I'm going to leave it to you now. Everyone,
sure.
Have a great, great week, and bye for now.
Bye, Martina.
Bye-bye.
Okay, so we've got about just a minute left, but I want to kind of just maybe touch upon some of the final points of the show, that some of the takeaways. You can get the recipes on the website, so don't worry about listening and jotting down everything you said. Just kind of take away from this show that healthy eating, it doesn't have to be about deprivation. You can find ways to make all the foods that you love, even the sweet ones, like we mentioned, and even maybe the treat ones, healthier, but it's about how you feel best, and it's about optimizing your health. The foods you're eating shouldn't be a detriment to you. There's enough things in this world that are going to threaten your health or, you know, make you feel
not your best, and the food you're eating shouldn't be one of those things. You have control over what you put in your mouth, and you have a right to demand healthy and wholesome foods. So that said, I hope everyone has a blessed and happy rest of the weekend. We'll see you next Saturday for the show on I Run for Diabetes, and have a good day.
Thank you for tuning into the Healthy Explosion Show, your best source for holistic health. Join us on Saturdays live at 10 a.m. on Blog Talk Radio. Visit HealthyExplosionShow.com for information about the show, listen to archive shows, read our online newsletter, visit the Marketplace section for holistic products and services, and advertise your products and services. Don't forget to follow Healthy Explosion Show on Twitter and Facebook.